Did you know that this moment is the best moment?
Yeah.
Why is it the best moment? Because it's the only moment. Everything else is made up. It's absolutely made up. And so to look at that, and so what do I want to do with my moment? I want to put God first with my moment. And I really do. Well, years ago, when I started doing that, and I'm not telling you why I do it all the time, but I do it whenever I remember to, which is more and more frequently lately. It must hurt that much in life that I need to put God first. You're praying, it's come to that. But put God first, G-O-D. I often like to think of God as good, orderly direction. One foot in front of the other. One thought in front of the other. One word in front of the other. One action in front of the other. Because if I try to do the last step before I do the first step, I'm going to fall down. And if I somehow succeed to do the last step before the first step, I'm not going to have a clue what to do when I get there. And so, one foot in front of the other. Good, orderly direction. When somebody taught me that I could use God as that, it helped me a lot. I could get on board with that because it helped me take the person out of God, the old man out of God, and therefore the personality out of it, so that I could use it practically. That's why I liked Unity so much. When they said Unity was initially called, not initially, but when it became a school, it became Unity School for Practical Christianity. Because I had an aversion to the word Christianity because people had mistaught me with the word. And so when practical Christianity, you mean it's practicable? It's something that I can use in my everyday thinking and my everyday living. And that thrilled me. It's like, okay, now I trust it. Because now I can experiment with it. I don't just have to accept at face value that what somebody is telling me is it. I can find out for myself. It's just like when Charles Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, when Myrtle Fillmore, Unity's co-founder, when she was healing from tuberculosis and she started a prayer group in their kitchen in Kansas City. And he heard this going on and he saw his wife healing through this affirmative prayer, through denial and affirmation. So he went around talking to different spiritual leaders and what have you, church leaders, things like that, whatever they had in Kansas City in 1886. And he heard something different from everybody. Everybody gave him different instructions. Well, you do it this way, you do it this way, you do it this way. And he decided, in all this cacophony of noise, and that's what he referred to it as, a cacophony of noise. Everybody's talking about God in different ways, healing in different ways. And he decided, in this cacophony, either I can communicate directly with Source, bless you, or the whole thing is a fraud. So he sat down to communicate directly with Source. That became his priority. Remember, Source is just another name for God, just as God is another name for what we cannot define. That tiny little word is just a word to define what we cannot possibly ever define because it's just too big. So anyway, so he would sit in his rocking chair every night. And he was a businessman and a real estate developer. And for months, he said nothing changed, except that he felt more peaceful, more calm in his rocking chair at night. Notice I'm in my rocking chair right now. That's what that's about. I'm not just nervous energy. I'm acting out imitation of Charles Fillmore at night. Anyway, then suddenly he was closing a real estate deal. And he realized he had dreamt the entire thing from start to finish 3 nights before. And that's when he was convinced. He had a direct communication with the invisible, with the Source. And that got him on board with this thing that back then was just called the Society. It was called the Society for Silent Help. And then it became the Society for Silent Unity. And it was all based in prayer, and it was all based in healing. And Myrtle Fillmore, who had been diagnosed with the tuberculosis, she realized she had to put God first in every thought, every prayer, every word, everything, or she was not going to have the healing that she had been promised. She knew very well. We all have a voice in us that tells us. It's like your voice that says, go to the gym. But I don't want to. I don't have that spark. Go anyway. You know, two good times to go to church. When you want to, when you don't want to. And so to listen to that voice that guides us to our healing, if it is healing we want. And what is healing? I'll tell you what healing is. It is the awareness of wholeness. Healing is when I know I am one with my source. That is the healing. It took Myrtle Fillmore 2 years to heal of the tuberculosis, and to where there were no signs of it. And she had many trials and tribulations in those 2 years, but didn't stop her from praying. She continued to pray. She continued to follow the advice of the voice within her. She was focused. And she would sit every day and praise her body. She would praise her cells. She would praise all the organs. She would praise everything. Why? Because the intelligence within us responds to a much higher level to praise than it does to criticism. I will heal faster by affirming a whole and healthy mind and body than I will by complaining about being sick. And so to fear being sick, I heal through the praise that God, that life is flowing in and through me now. And there is no argument for that. I had a friend who was she's a good acquaintance. She's a Unity minister today, but she was training for the Olympics several years ago. And she was really, she was on the path and got into a car accident and got paralyzed from the waist down. And her coach came to her hospital room one day and said, "Do you want to walk again?" And she said, "Well, yes." And he said, "Then know what? You don't talk about anything but walking from now on. Nobody's allowed in this room more than once who talks about you doing anything than walking. No doctors, no nurses, no friends, no family is allowed to talk about anything other than you walking." And that became her daily thought, is walking, walking, walking. Now, when I met her at Unity Village, she was in seminary, her x-rays said that she could not walk. There was something pinched back here in her back that she could not walk. Now, I saw her running around the village in high heels. But the x-rays say she can't walk. Who are you going to believe? And so it tells me, do something different if you want. You got to put God first. G-O-D, good orderly direction. You want to walk, good orderly direction is you focus on walking. Even if it's just you can't even get out of bed today, you focus on walking if that's what you want. You know, you're allowed to want what you want. Quite frankly, if it's death that you want, if you want to die, then you think about death daily. And it's not bad. That's your journey. And you focus there on the next part of your journey, which is to leave the body in one way or another. You know, I'm not here to judge. I'm not here to criticize. But it's a matter of, what do you want? Use the power that is within you. Whatever God is, it will help you to a next part of your journey. And it will do it with joy. Many people die joyfully. Many people live joyfully. And a lot of people live miserably. And every day, they focus on their misery and their pain and what they can't have and what they don't seem to have. And they become convinced. They tell themselves a story, and then they tell themselves to believe the story. Don't do that. Don't tell yourself a story that it's not possible for you to thrive, no matter what age you are, no matter what your current income level is, and no matter, don't let the past be the boss of you. God first, God first, God first, G-O-D. When I came into my healing journey, they told me, "Sean, get on board with this God thing." Because the people I saw where I went and the groups I went to, the ones that were happiest are the ones that had confidence in a God of their understanding. And so I wanted to know more about those people. I didn't even necessarily want their God. I wanted to know about their choosing of a God where they were experiencing joy and they didn't feel the need to hurt themselves or anyone else. where they were not a burden to another person because they weren't focused on their misery. They were focused on the possibility of healing. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes we're in pain. And sometimes we need someone to witness that pain and help us get through it. There are many therapists for that. There are ministers. If somebody came to me in pain, I'm not going to criticize. I'm going to say, let's talk about it. And how do we get God first in the thinking so that you no longer have to stay in pain? And so to go from there, you know, we affirm the highest and then we work with that. It's important sometimes as children of God, children need to have their pain witnessed, but not enabled. That's my thinking. Because with God first, and it's I can't put God first for somebody. I can work on it for myself. And I can encourage others to do it for themselves. And then we can talk about God together and the possibility of wholeness and healing and restoration of what had seemed to be amiss. Now, Jesus, in his Christ awakening, he gave a couple of great teachings. One that really will help to bring joy to all of us is love God, love your neighbor, love yourself. God, love God, love yourself, love your neighbor. You can put them in any order you want. They all happen simultaneously. It is not possible to hate and love God. So many people say, well, I could love God, but I can't love my neighbor. Then you don't love God. You're not bad for that. Just haven't found your way through and in emotionally and mentally. And he said, but what about they did terrible things? Yes, they did, because they forgot who they were. They forgot their divinity. Are you going to keep forgetting yours in order to hate this person who did wrong? You know, if the payoff isn't paying off the way we used to want to, because suddenly I'm putting hate first instead of God first. Suddenly I'm putting misery first instead of God first. Suddenly I'm putting justified resentments first instead of God first. And I can't afford to do that. I got to find a way in the door, which means I got to find a God in my mind that I can trust that is on everybody's side. Not just on my side. I have a God that is very much on everyone's side. I wish everybody else would get on their own side more and consider this and not wait. Well, I'll get to God in a minute, but first I got to go kick this one in the shins because they hurt my feelings. I'm exaggerating here, because it may be they killed my neighbor. They killed someone. You know, it doesn't matter. That's not the point. The point is, if I can start to love my enemies, I can start to see them differently. And I can see myself differently. And I can see God differently. And I can see life differently. And then when I start to love those, my enemies, they'll see me differently. And they'll react differently to me. And perhaps they'll react differently to themselves. It's like Jesus touching the leper. And the leper, when he said, Jesus touched me. Jesus touched me. I'm a leper. You're not supposed to touch me. And he began to see himself differently because Jesus touched him unafraid. And people around saw Jesus touch the leper. And so leprosy began to heal because they realized, oh, maybe it's not what we thought it was. Maybe there's a possibility of healing here. Maybe. Let's keep looking into this. And so the mind began to change and change and change and change. So many minds, one mind after another, began to shift and begin to see differently and believe differently. So suddenly we're not holding people with leprosy to a death sentence. We no longer hold people with HIV to a death sentence. We're not holding people with COVID to a death sentence. We're not holding our minds that somebody has to or should die just because it happened in the past. Myrtle Fillmore didn't hold herself that I should die because I have tuberculosis. She put God first. G-O-D, flowing in and through every cell, every tissue, every fiber of my being. So we have the love God, love self, love neighbor, all at the same time. It's not in an order. It's simultaneously. It's just like the Lord's Prayer, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Not then we'll forgive those who trespass against us. You know, when I get around to it. But God, go ahead and take care of me now. And then there's the other magnificent, magnificent instruction in the book of Matthew. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first. So before I seek prosperity, meaning cash to too many people, before I seek getting mine, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom is our divine inheritance. And with the kingdom, all these things shall be added to me. I love that. With the kingdom, all these things. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all this will be added unto you. I'm going to read something real briefly here. I might as well set this down whilst I do it. Whilst I dance it. This is my favorite book, the Holy Spirit's Interpretation of the New Testament. It goes from Matthew to Revelation. And Regina Donakers is her name. But she channeled this, and I feel like I'm in the mind of Holy Spirit when I read it here. And it says, I love when I do this. I thought, oh, I'll remember that passage, which number it is. Where'd it go? Somebody Google. Do me a favor, Google. Seek ye first the kingdom. And I will find it right here. Right now, it is all looking like hieroglyphics to me.
What are you looking for?
Seek ye first the kingdom.
Matthew 6:33.
Oh, it is there. Okay, it was right in that paragraph I was reading. Because remember, they reword things in this book. That's why. It's not traditional. Okay, so let's go. So therefore, do not worry about which way you should go, or what you should do next. Instead, ask now for the surety of the light to light the way for your next step. Listen in quiet to the guidance of the heart as it tells you where to place your step. Be concerned only with letting your steps be led. For by following the guidance of the light, you will surely be walking the way of life. For the light and life are one. But if you let your mind be distracted by other concerns, and you begin to worry about troubles within the world, you will forget to step carefully with the light, and you will run frantically into the dark. Then you shall look around and realize that once more you are lost. For you cannot find the path of life without the guidance of the light. For the light and life are one. If you have lost one, you are lost from the other. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and everything will be added unto you. What you put before God, you cannot keep. I was taught that early on. What you put before your higher power, your God, your source, you cannot keep. It will be but a temporary pleasure and usually met with confusion. Seek ye first. Put God first in your mind, in your prayer time, in your words. I'm not saying put religion first. I'm saying put God first. Put God first in your body. Before you worry for the well-being of your body, put God first in your mind. Before you worry for the well-being of your spouse, your loved one, your children, your parents, your neighbors, put God first in your mind. Before you worry for your money, put God first in your mind, before you worry for your world. Put God first in your mind. Do not try to manipulate the world. Let light reveal the world in its true nature to you. Let light reveal the true nature of your body to you. Let light reveal the true nature of everything and everyone to you. Put God first. What?
Put God first.
Oh, there we go. Put God first. What did I say?
Put God first.
There you go. Thank you.